with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of Sunman Dearborn Community Schools since 2015 and a District 8 Superintendent of the Year, Dr. Andrew Jackson. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, Executive Director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. The Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. Superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. Although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school, district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, a learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and genuine care for people. Well, let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Dr. Andrew Jackson. Welcome, Dr. Jackson.
Thank you.
So we're here in Sunman Dearborn Community Schools. Tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about Sunman Dearborn and the community that we're in.
Absolutely. So we are mostly in northern Dearborn County, and then one township in Ripley County. So the corporation came about in 1973. So it was the consolidation of Sunman High School and North Dearborn High School. North Dearborn High School and District were six townships in northern Dearborn County, and Sunman was one township, Adams Township, in Ripley County. So we're across two counties, seven townships total. We're mostly a bedroom community, mostly college prep type students who leave here at East Central High School. And we have a group of parents that are very involved in our students' education, proud of this place. What makes us, I wouldn't say unique, but somewhat rare, is we don't have like a small town. You know, like around here you have Aurora, or you have Lawrenceburg. You know, you have Versailles for South Ripley, Batesville, obviously.
And is that where most people work?
A lot of people work in this, and the city also. So so we're country folk down. We call it the city. That's Cincinnati. So, right, we call it the city. But we have a lot of small towns. We have St. Leon, Sunman, Dover, Guilford, you know, all these different small towns that base Bright that make up our community. So it's a little bit different. Like, there's not one central location. So for us, the schools are very much the heart of our larger community.
I was going to ask you that because you think about the consolidation that happened in the early 70s and bringing those communities together. Really, it's the school district that does that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And then we kept North Dearborn High School became an elementary school, and Sunman High School became an elementary school as well. So we still have that identity, that old identity of those two high schools. North Dearborn actually got moved into a newer building, but Sunman Elementary is still in the old Sunman High School. In fact, my in-laws, my wife's parents actually went to Sunman High School.
So that's probably what brought you back to the area, because in looking, this is your third superintendency. You've had one in Ohio, I believe two here in Indiana, correct?
Yes, correct.
And so was it family that brought you back here?
It was. So I started my career teaching at a little Catholic school in Columbus, Indiana, a school I went to called St. Bartholomew's. I taught sixth grade self-contained for 2 years. And then my wife, Renee, and I decided we were either going to live in Columbus or we're going to live in her hometown, which is the Sunman area. She actually went to Milan Community Schools, but we live in the Sunman area. So we were both trying to find positions in public schools, and basically wherever we landed in a public school is where we're going to move. And so we ended up, I got the job at Milan after that. Computer coordinator was my position, so I worked with teachers in the classroom to try to use computers in the classroom.
Early on in the technology
integration. Yes, that was in 94, so it was very early. It was, there was this thing out there called the internet that, that was a passing phase that, you know.
Was that Token Ring network time?
It was. Wow. Yeah, Token Ring. We had the old IBM Token Ring. Yeah, we sure did. So I had a mentor there that tapped me on the shoulder several times to try different administrative positions. I was there from 1994 until 2008, the last 2 years as superintendent. And, you know, for small districts at the time, we had about 1,300 students. I was number three on the sub list for buses. So I would every once in a while, probably about once a month, I would run a route. And I decided that I wanted to try a larger district and focus on one thing. And part of it also is like when you're in one place for 14 years and you literally, you know, I started there when I was 24, left there when I was 38, you know, raising a family, doing mm-hmm. those things. You at some point you want to find out, do I really know what I'm doing mm-hmm. or do I just have a mentor that likes me and has given me these opportunities, right? Yeah. So I left there, went to a place called Northwest Local School District, Colerain High School. Some people have heard of Colerain mm-hmm. High School. They had a really dominant football program yep. at that time. And I was the director of curriculum there, assistant superintendent for curriculum, and then eventually became superintendent there at Northwest Local.
Still living here in Summit?
Still living in Summit. Okay. I talked to my wife, like, if we want to do this right, we need to move to Cincinnati. We mm-hmm. didn't really want to do that. This opened up in my backyard, Summit Dearborn, yeah. and we live in Summit. And so I applied almost 11 years ago now mm-hmm. and got the position. So that's what led me here.
For those who don't know you well, what is something you wish people knew? Superintendents always have kind of this persona, especially on days where you have hard decisions to make. You're up giving a speech at graduation. You're calling school for a inclement weather day. What's something that you would love for people just to know about Dr. Andrew Jackson, or even Andrew Jackson, as your mother probably calls you?
You know, I like to have a good time. I like to have fun. And I think people see me, and I've had even people in my church get to know me. It's like, wow, you're a lot more fun and a lot funnier and easygoing than I thought you were. So at the end of the day, you know, I'm just a guy trying to figure this life thing called life out. Yeah. And this is the job I do to feed my family and provide for my family, right? And just like everyone else, I'm trying to figure out what this life is all about, how to be a good person. And I'm not as serious as I may appear to be.
So let me talk a little bit more about that. You talk about faith. You talk about family. What keeps you grounded? It's so easy sometimes in the superintendency because you are that top administrator, people treat you a little differently when you walk into a classroom or when you walk into a meeting. What keeps you grounded?
Well, certainly my family and my faith, as you mentioned, are two of them. And ultimately just trying to remain humble, right? So there's a saying that there's two type of people in the world. Those are and those are getting ready to be humbled, right? And so every once in a while, I'll look up and say, okay, thank you for this opportunity to be humbled here. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I messed this up and I need to learn a lesson and mm-hmm. I need to realize I don't know it all, right? And you want to display confidence, and I'm confident in what I do here. I understand the position. I've done it long enough that I know what's going on around here. But at the same time, you know, it goes back to the Ted Lasso, that episode about be curious.
Yes.
Just, you know.
Right.
That whole
thing. The Walt
Whitman
quote.
Yes. Uh-huh. And just being curious and try to understand and asking clarifying questions and not judging and things like that. So what grounds me is my faith. And at the end of the day, just trying to figure out this place called Earth and what happens next for me.
So, barbecue sauce, right?
Yeah.
What are you most proud of during your time here as superintendent?
You know, I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is probably an intangible that we try to measure, but it's hard to measure, and that is just that our staff feel supported and appreciated in a place they want to come to work. When I first got here, a lot of people were leaving, a lot of turnover, and we focused on certain things like salary benefits, which were important, but mm-hmm. it's also that this place is bigger than each one of us individually, and together is what makes this place work. And at the end of the day, when you think about, and I've told people this many times, when a kid comes home from school, the parents aren't too concerned about things like, you know, did you have the newest equipment on the mm-hmm. playground mm-hmm. Was the asphalt, you know, in good repair? They want to know, did you have fun? Do you have friends? Does the teacher like you? Do you like your teacher? Those types of things.
Those relationships are so important.
It's all of it, right? Mm-hmm. We had a speaker that said, love first, then teach, those types of things, right? And I think that teachers are more apt to display that attitude with their students when we display that from the leadership and from each other. So we do a culture climate survey. We've done it for about 7 or 8 years now. And we do the same one year after year to kind of track those scores. And we have shown some improvements. But I would say if you go around and ask teachers, staff, custodians, cafeteria workers, you know, do you like your job? Do you like working here? They're going to say yes, very much. So they very much, this is their second family.
Hmm. Makes me want to apply.
Okay, we got some openings.
Well, as we get ready to wrap this up, final question that I really it plays off of what we were just talking about. What does leading with excellence mean to you in the context of public education?
Well, yeah, there's a few things. One is honesty, integrity, visibility, humility, those types of
huge
things, right?
Yep.
So I go to a lot of events. I don't go to quite as much as I used to. When I first got here, I made an intentional effort to get to everything I could for a lot of different reasons. Mm-hmm. One is I want those coaches and sponsors who get paid $5 an hour, right? Mm-hmm. Like you got a coach or a sponsor who's making $1,200 to meet with the academic team for the whole year, right?
And it's literally the whole year. It's not three months anymore.
Right.
It's 12 months, yeah.
So you have all those things going on, and when you break it down to an hourly rate, it's hardly anything, mm-hmm. right? So one is I wanted those coaches to know that as the leader, I'm there to watch them and support them and cheer them on. Mm-hmm. I wanted students to see me outside of their classrooms and their hallways mm-hmm. as well to go to those, see those events. To me, that is the one piece of it is the visibility piece, that you're not in your office just making decisions. You're out seeing it. And the other piece of that as well is that when a parent calls me up on a Monday and says, man, that so-and-so coach did this, and this, and I was embarrassed for the school, I can say, well, I was there actually, mm-hmm. and I saw it too, and that's not what I saw. Yeah. You know, so there's that piece of it as well. It's just the accountability piece of it that, you know.
Or sometimes I saw that too, and we're handling it.
Right. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. We are.
Agreed.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think the visibility, ethics, I think, is so unbelievably important.
Yeah.
And so years ago, I was a middle school assistant principal, and I would ask kids, would you want your mom to know what you just did?
Hmm.
Like, what if we called your mom
wow.
and told her what you just did, what would she think of this? Because at the end of the day, that's like, right? If your mom wouldn't be proud of what you're doing, you probably shouldn't be doing
it. That's right. That's right.
So I think for me, that not about my mom necessarily, but in terms of it's the ethics, the integrity of doing the things when no one's watching.
That's
right?
a powerful
because
lens.
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And over time, like, people are going to judge how we made a decision about a snow day. So we're recording this for our listeners on a snow day.
That's
actually.
Right.
And people will make those decisions whether or not they made the right. And those things don't really matter, right? We want to be safe and all that. But at the end of the day, someone looks back and says, I didn't always agree with him, but he told me why he made the decision.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can't tell someone why you made the decision, then you maybe made the wrong decision if you're, you know, and sometimes it's, you know, it's confidential, whatever. But so I think visibility, integrity, honesty are the probably the most important pieces of that.
And it sounds like in all of those things, you really come back to what's best for children, what's best for your students, what's best for your staff, and that leads to what's best for this district and this community.
Absolutely, yeah. You want to be child first, focused, and sometimes the adults, it has to be a little uncomfortable for them. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you got to support those students and our families.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you so much for being my guest.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Superintendent of the Sunman-Dearborn Community Schools and active leader in the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents, Dr. Andrew Jackson. Andrew's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope that today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.